Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Despacito, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. You guessed it right. And Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And that guy, Pete Donaldson.
You've done Despacito before.
Haven't.
And Waterlooville.
I've done nothing of the sort, young man.
I thought you did. You were obsessed with that song for a long time.
What, Waterlooville?
No.
Despacito?
Despacito. You're always singing it to me and clapping.
That's not true at all.
I don't even know the song.
You would sing it quite a lot. That's the only reason why I knew it.
Such an odd lie.
And then you take your top off and make me lick you.
Oh, there we go.
Now I'm starting to believe it now.
Yeah.
Because you came in topless the other day, didn't you, from the continent to surprise them. No, for the Luke and Pete show. Yeah. So you've got previous with it.
Yeah, well.
A little hairy boy.
But I've got future with it, Jim, as well.
Quite.
Don't you worry about that. Do you not know Despacito?
No, I don't. Am I so out of touch?
Yeah, I think
no.
So. I mean, it's been around for a while now.
It's the children that are wrong.
Yeah, they're all wrong.
They're all wrong.
Crying out loud, can't they get back to the stuff that we liked when we were younger?
They've all got the same haircuts.
No way.
And fidget spinners.
Some of them, their haircuts have got haircuts. And an Instagram account.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The past was better when the future was in front.
I miss Beyblades.
Push pops.
Can
we just do this for 20 minutes?
We could. It's all Amiibos and Pogs now.
Well, speaking of the past, Alan Pardew has emerged as the favourite to succeed Tony Pulis
finally,
as West Brom manager.
The British manager gets a chance.
I'll tell you what, on British managers, actually, Rory Smith wrote a brilliant piece in the New York Times, was it, Jim? About British managers such as Allardyce and Pardew and all are the hindrance to British managers. But actually, it's a very well-crafted piece, and I implore anybody to read that.
I read that at your recommendation, and I can't help but agree, because, you know, they effectively can keep failing and keep getting jobs, which, you know, younger managers struggle with.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Pardew's in the frame. I mean, at the time of recording, nothing has happened, of course.
Have I softened on Pardew so much that I just think, it's probably going to be more fun than Pulis?
Yeah, but I think... I think, though, with you, he's well out of Newcastle now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like to know where he is.
Yeah,
I like to have my eyes on him, he's just in case he gets parachuted in at some point.
He's not going to return to that region at all. I wouldn't even say anytime soon. Would you say you've forgiven him?
No, God, no. Things he did. Pardewlies.com for more updates. he blamed the Olympics Newcastle playing badly. Or for not being able to sign players. The Olympics.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He also headbutted David Myler, didn't he? That gets forgotten. Headbutted David Myler.
Oh, yeah, I mean, to be honest, the modern football headbutt is not a headbutt. It's not a Duncan Ferguson, is it?
I completely agree with that.
And it's more of a head push.
But that's a good thing, Peter.
That is a good thing.
All right.
Yeah. So are headbutts getting softer, Andy?
I mean, they demonstrably are.
Yeah, they really are.
It's a rare occasion where that actually works.
They're using neck muscles that they never used to use before.
Yeah.
Before it was just inertia. Now it's neck muscles.
You're right. It's a head push or a head brush.
It's
and that's what Myler got. It wasn't a headbutt.
It's a peck on the cheek with your forehead rather than your mouth.
A Glasgow peck, shall
we
call
quite,
it?
Yeah,
a kiss with a fist. Yeah. It's better than none, as Florence and the Machine once said.
I disagree.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pardew. I thought to myself, because they're obviously West Brom are away to Spurs, so they're at Wembley.
Yeah, and
I
box thought, office.
It is absolute box office. And I thought to myself, you know, it's unlike, I mean, if indeed Pards does get the job, but I thought if he was sworn in quickly, could we see the dance again at Wembley?
Absolutely. what a box office way to kick in the new 8-year contract.
do you Do you think Pardew would do that if indeed he was West Brom manager by Saturday? It's not going to happen. Do you think if they scored, he would think, "Oh, people will remember the dance. I'll give them the dance again."
Well, I don't know. Based on the Pardew pattern of, you know, starting well at clubs, then it falling away, and him being able to, you know, not address the Pardew slide. We do know that one thing he doesn't do is learn. So I would imagine he probably would do it again.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, wonderful. But yeah, so obviously West Brom away to Spurs. And Spurs got themselves a lovely win away to Dortmund.
Yeah, they did. Didn't even really need it.
Nothing.
I'll have this as well.
They've really taken to the Champions League.
They have, haven't they?
Yeah. So last week, that seems to be their focus. They seem to really go organs blazing. Well, not organs blazing. They just seem to put in really professional performances in the Champions League.
But for a side who had obviously struggled in the previous year's campaign, and haven't got that much of a history in the competition. Yeah. I know under Redknapp, I think it was, you know, they went quite far and were beaten by, put out by Real Madrid. And, you know, Crouch scoring against, was it Milan, I think?
It was Inter, wasn't it? They absolutely bossed them, they
did that as well. So they have a little bit of previous, but I thought perhaps they might be like Manchester City, you know, taking their time to get used to the competition. But this season...
Well, Man City have had that luxury in a way, haven't they? And they could probably reasonably look ahead into the future and think we're going to be in the Champions League a lot. So they've had, you know, they've been able to take their time, whereas Spurs are just so ready for it and giddy for it that they've sort of just attacked it with a relish that, you know, has worked really, really well for them.
And playing at every home game in the Champions League at Wembley, we know, is an advantage from Arsenal.
Well, quite, yeah. No, but they're seeming to make that work, or sort of growing into it. But also having Real Madrid and Dortmund in that group, they've had big teams already, so that they're going to be used to that pressure, and that experience will do well for them.
Are you predicting Arsenal and Spurs European champions?
Arsenal and Spurs
in their respective competitions.
Could you imagine that? That would be so
that would be a very Arsenal thing. If Spurs went deep into the Champions League, maybe even got to sort of semi-final, perhaps quarter-final, really happy with their work, and Arsenal go on and win the Europa League.
Yeah.
It would be kind of,
that would
well, we'd rather be in the Champions
problem,
League, and Arsenal fans would be like, yeah, but we won a competition.
Yeah.
I think that would be the kind of perfect sort of, that would be or the classic North London scenario.
Yeah, peak North London.
Indeed. But Spurs finishing top of their group, it does upset the balance a bit, doesn't it?
It does. Although, there are some big teams that are likely to come second. Like Juventus and Bayern look pretty much certain.
But you're always going to get big teams finish second.
But I mean, there's a chance of Napoli in there as well. Like, there's a few this year.
Sure, but Napoli are still in a slightly...
Yeah, they're slightly precarious, but not impossible.
Yeah, but you would rather draw Bayern Munich than PSG, who would be the alternative.
The way
PSG are playing at the
moment. You know what? I think Bayern do look a bit more vulnerable than they have in a while. I can see Spurs getting them and winning.
Did you see
that would be incredibly North London as well.
It would. Did you see the Bayern fans? They were away to Anderlecht, and they were unhappy about the ticket prices, so they were throwing fake money on the pitch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fake money has to be slightly smaller or slightly bigger than the actual note.
Is that right?
I know that.
Otherwise, it's not fake.
Otherwise, it's not fake.
But you surely have to buy fake money. So you are still
throwing your money away.
That is your kind of capability. Although you would insist on throwing your own money, the real money, and doing it for everybody else.
Most photocopiers won't allow you to copy notes. They've got something in them, like an image recognition system that stops you from copying.
So they should.
Who's falling for a photocopied note? Anyway?
Block down the road. Steve in the chip shop. Idiot. Because his hands are all greasy, he doesn't even notice. Yeah. What an idiot.
Oh, dear.
But I think Napoli will get through simply because Pep will down tools and threaten to leave management if they don't get through.
He wants them through.
Yeah. In solidarity with other Sky Blue teams.
That's true. And teams who play that style of football as well. According to Opta, Harry Kane scored 39 goals in 38 competitive games for Spurs in 2017. We have to say competitive games in case...
Could do against Arsenal, could they?
Well, no, he couldn't score against Arsenal.
No.
In the last game against Arsenal, we should be specific there.
Yeah. I don't think that's really a fair stick to pick up, is it?
And he's got 6 in the Champions League already this season.
Yeah.
He's decent, Peter. I told you he wasn't a
told
one or
this.
Two or three season wonder.
You're like Tim Sherwood. I brought him in the team. I'll take him out.
He did do that recently, didn't
did,
he?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He laid the foundations for Pochettino's work.
My God.
Jesus.
Such hubris from an idiot.
God.
He's worse than Steve down the road.
Yeah, I ain't never known such hubris ever.
Laid the foundations.
I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say.
Marvellous stuff.
Well, the last time Spurs played in the Champions League, they looked a little bit leggy against Crystal Palace. So if you fancy the draw at Wembley with Bet365, I'm putting out there, Marcus. £10 at 92 will return you £55, including your stake. So now you know.
That's not a bad bet.
That's not a bad bet. It's not our best bet. That's coming up later.
No, that's right. That is very, and with Gary Megson probably at the helm, because we don't think we don't think Pards or they'll have a new manager in. Or so,
there's talk of Allardyce as well, and he just keeps insisting he doesn't want to manage anyone, but they won't leave him alone, will they?
Yeah, British managers don't get a chance other than Allardyce and the usuals. That's, I think, is something that we can all agree. Chelsea got a nice win in the Champions League, and it really was a nice win. They had a long trip, of course, all the way to Karabakh in Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
And it's a trip that nobody wants to make because of the length of the journey. And Conte's been saying, you know, they get back at probably about 4 a.m. on Thursday, and then they're playing Liverpool away on the Saturday, and so on and so forth.
I would very much like to do that trip on a private jet, just put it out there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll happily do that.
Well, if we can get a sponsor, then we'll put it up on your YouTube channel. But with the trip, the circumstances were quite ideal. They had a man sent off early on. Chelsea then just kind of played a bit of a training game. You know, I know that's not the point Conte's making, but for Chelsea fans, I think they'll be quite pleased that the game panned out like that. So they should have a little bit in the tank for Anfield on Saturday.
Mm. They could recall some loan players, just putting out there, guys. we're pagged. You've got 50 players on loan.
Conte did say that they basically did all their prep on the plane, so he didn't sleep.
What, like shuttle runs and stuff? Please, I've put the seatbelt light on. Yeah. Sit down. Come on.
No, I won't. We're going to Anfield.
Yeah.
No time for flight safety.
Sorry, we need...
The turbulence will help us.
We need to do the tax-free shopping now. Please clear the aisles.
Yeah, the turbulence will just, you know, that's the Anfield crowd being
do you think he'd go up the front to the cockpit to announce the team on the loudspeaker?
Yeah,
and on the right wing, come on, nobody look. But N'Golo Kante's back in the side, made a big difference. They've won the last three since he's been in there. And that will happen with Mr. Kante.
Yeah.
It's no surprise.
He's beloved by the fans and also the manager, clearly, because whenever he's not there, they just look a bit... all right, they don't look a bit lost, but they are not as good as they usually are.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I really want to see Drinkwater and Kante sort of start playing more.
Absolutely, just marauding through. Jamie Vardy will just materialise if that happens.
I was a little bit concerned for Vardy's World Cup prospects. I know he turned down the chance to play in the last two friendlies. Look at me, he's putting this straight on England. But
do you mean Drinkwater?
Drinkwater, yes.
You said Vardy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. No,
Vardy played.
Oh, Vardy will be there. Vardy will be on the plane. Don't worry about that. He'll be running to Russia. But with Drinkwater, sorry.
Mm.
I just wonder how much he will play at Chelsea. And well, Southgate being very clear about you need to play. And Drinkwater is probably one of the more talented players in that particular position.
The England team have always been willing to compromise. They're pragmatic.
Oh, no, those days
they're
are
not
over,
dogmatic,
Peter.
For crying out loud.
The dog days, the dogma days are over.
The dogma days are over.
It's a quote Florence and the Machine once again, but that, this time correctly. But the Chelsea are playing Liverpool, of course. They had an indifferent time in the Champions League. First half good, second half not so good.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. It was strange, wasn't it? Jordan Henderson after the game said it's not fair to blame the defence on that. He said it was their failure to continue to supply the forwards. But isn't that kind of an admission that they only know how to play one way?
Yeah.
That they can't sort of just kill a game off if the opposition are getting back into it?
Well, this is it. In the press today, that there's reports from, I think, the French press saying that Liverpool have made contact with Julian Draxler's people with regards to a loan move potentially in January. Now, Draxler, I think he did play against Celtic in the Champions League, but he's not going to play in one of his preferred positions while they've got that ridiculously good front line. So he may well have a little think. I think with Draxler, he's still wanting to play at PSG. But the fact is, Liverpool have made contact. That's the point. Mm. And I thought to myself, you're all right up there. But
that's not the problem. What, you playing him at wing back?
Yeah, right. Well, Roy Keane, the charismatic Roy Keane, said that, and rightly said, he said they've got the hardest part of the game sorted in scoring goals and creating chances.
Right, yeah.
And it's just the same old, same old. I mean, we talk about Arsenal sort of same old, same old, but Liverpool under Klopp.
Yeah, they're pushing Arsenal hard for that.
Well, to quote our man who's not here, Luke Moore, he said that'll do for Klopp. These goals they are conceding. And
the more you see it, the more you're convinced it's not going to change. It looks like a sort of top four forward line with a maybe bottom half defence.
Yeah, you're right. And that might even be generous with the defence. I mean, to defend from the front and so on, I mean, you can only do so much. To go 3-0 up away in Sevilla, decent side, who have got Champions League ambitions this season in La Liga again.
Yeah.
Obviously, that is a very competitive part of the La Liga table, and they're in there. to then concede three in the second half. Now, I know there was that rousing speech from the Sevilla manager who just got cancer and so on. And that is, you know, it's kind of obviously inspired the team and so on. And it's quite amazing to hear all that. Mm. But the goals, it's the individual mistakes that Liverpool made.
I mean, Moreno was subbed off, wasn't he, after, you know, being basically negatively involved in the first two Sevilla goals. That penalty was, it was just clumsy. And it smacks of a guy who sort of like... chasing shadows a little bit, because Henderson said as well when the crowd got up, and it's an amazing crowd at Sevilla.
Yeah,
that really got to them. And you would think, you know, with the intensity of the Premier League and being used to that, that they'd be okay with that. And the thing I'm getting from the post-match reaction from the players is they're almost a little bit confused by it, like they don't understand it themselves. You see, Klopp looks baffled when this keeps happening, and you wonder where that's changing.
But with so much of Liverpool's play at the back this season, like Klopp can't just sort of run on the pitch and go, just lay a pass six feet in front of you,
or don't concede.
But that's what I mean, it's the individual errors. But a lot of these players, I mean, you know, he inherited a lot of them from a previous manager, and I just don't think that he's put his sort of stamp of authority on
still that. Still
think that? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He hasn't been there a while. I mean, at this point, he's had long enough to sort of train them into something resembling what he needs from them. And we're seeing Liverpool concede goals from throw-ins quite a bit, which is basic stuff. Mm.
Yeah, well, look at the other end of the pitch. They're having a
phenomenal,
having a lovely old time. But I did find this mildly amusing. Former Spurs man and, of course, former Egypt player Mido posted the other day that his fellow Egyptian Salah will be off to Madrid soon after his brilliant start for Liverpool.
Yeah, cheers,
Mido. Give him a chance. Yeah.
Are you pitching to be his agent?
Like, it's just classic Mido.
Actually, Mido would be a great agent, wouldn't he? He
would
more
never
suited to that life.
He would never represent someone almost called Salad. that would never happen.
You know, Mo Salah has actually got 14 goals this season in 18 appearances, and Philippe Coutinho was Liverpool's top scorer with 14 last season.
Ridiculous.
So he's just having an incredible season. £35 million, that looks what a bargain that looks now.
Yeah, but he'll be off to Madrid in January.
Well, apparently, his would-be agents on it.
I do enjoy watching that lad play. I do enjoy watching that lad play. I think he's fantastic.
Indeed.
He's a lovely lad.
And now it's time for correspondence with PTD.
It is time for correspondence with PTD. And not only PTD, the listeners. Hello to Mark Kelly in County Tyrone. As Luke mentioned last week, Leatherhead were indeed playing Billericay in the FA Cup. Billericay's owner, one Glenn Tamplin, claimed beforehand, "With all due respect to Leatherhead, we will tear them apart at home." This tearing apart resulted in them losing 3-1 to the mighty Leatherhead. Defiant Glenn did the mature thing and tweeted his congratulations to Leatherhead for their win, writing, "Got some disgusting abuse of the haters and off the haters," so he just misspelled it, "and Leatherhead were the better team, I hate to admit, and they wanted it more than us. I'm hurting for my fans being let down. You muggy haters, jealous pricks will never bring me down. I love my own and you don't even penetrate my skin."
He's a character, isn't he?
He
really is. Have you seen the dressing room they've got where he's got
lions artists and
coming
stuff.
I think it's lions, yeah, loads of lions. He is an intense man and I am all for it.
Yeah. All for him going out the cup.
Chris, a wicked whisper regarding an ex-Palace manager, a Palace fan, is Chris, and he had a chance to meet with club in inverted commas, he writes, legend Alan in inverted commas Party Pardew. "Last Sunday I was working on the farmers market in Marylebone selling fresh produce to multimillionaires and oligarchs. I had a chance meeting with Pards. Sporting his new goatee beard and wearing a flat cap, he knowingly pushed his way to the front of the queue in order to purchase 3 heirloom tomatoes." I'm not really sure what heirloom tomatoes are.
No.
You live in North London, Jim, and you support Arsenal. Any ideas?
Oh, I don't do my own tomato shopping, Peter.
Tomatoes that have been in the family for years.
Yeah, yeah. Like a Fabergé egg. Pretty rotten tomato.
They've gone off tomato.
he basically knowingly pushed away to the front of the queue to buy these tomatoes, saying, "Can I pay for these, please?" Interrupting a transaction with a nice American lady who obliged him whilst giving me a look of, "You better serve him to get rid of him." I begrudgingly served him, and at the end of his purchase, he raised his voice in the same tone that Partridge does during a low point when destroying cereals on the step of his static home, and said, "I've got places to be." And he stormed away, probably to drink a pint of his... I'm not going to read the rest of it.
Perhaps he was negging nice American lady.
Well, what do you reckon? Yeah, I've got places to be.
Yeah, look how important I am.
Let me buy my heirloom tomatoes.
See, I would have said, I'll give you a 10% discount if you do the dance.
Hello to Phil Smith, sent from Outlook, guys. Round of applause for Outlook Express.
Well, yeah,
Outlook, 2017.
Yeah.
Hello, Ramblers. Hello, Ramblers. Rude, don't call me a knob.
Oh, yeah.
Long time, I find it quite a flabby programme. Long time listener, occasional tweeter and show attender, first time emailer. Thank you for emailing, Mr. Phil.
And sending us your CV, Ramble.
My highlight of the week came at work when a new colleague revealed that her cousin is the partner of one time Brighton journeyman and now fixture of Gianfranco Zola's backroom staff, Charlie Otway. Not massively noteworthy in itself. We heard tales of his travels with Zola to Athens, China and Sunderland as well. However, upon a cursory Google of good old Charlie, I realised that Charlie isn't actually his name. His name is actually Anthony Philip, David Terry, Frank Donald, Stanley Jerry, Gordon Stephen, James Otway. They are all his first names, legally.
Is he one of those people that's named after a title-winning team or something? Is it one of those things?
That is correct.
Apparently,
you get the glow for glod. Apparently, for Charlie's parents, apparently they were a huge QPR fans and decided to name their son after the 1973 starting 11.
Blimey.
And the name Charlie apparently came from a concerned aunt saying, well, he'll look all right, Charlie. So I mean, it's abuse, isn't it, really? Yeah. It's just abuse,
it's
really.
Just strange. I mean, he's got too many names there for a start, but it's just as well that they didn't name him after a more modern side who use squad rotation, because he's having more names.
All the Chelsea loanees, the aforementioned Chelsea loanees. Nick Adam Thwaite, a Bristol-based Villa fan, pointed out, a few people pointed this out, actually, that Xabi Alonso's goal in the FA Cup back in the day, 2008, 2006, was the first dual postcode scorer. Remember when he scored from his own half?
Right.
A few people came in with that. Jack and Andrew Roberts have come up with the Luton chat. Chester Football Club is a great example where the pitch is in Wales but the clubhouse is in England.
That's good.
So you can score in one country and celebrate in another.
There we are.
Worth a Google Maps, he says. And also Liechtenstein's National Stadium is on the river border of Switzerland too, meaning that a decent hoof out of the stadium will mean your shot ends up in another country.
Great.
Yeah, having that.
I am indeed.
And finally for now, Scott has spotted Jolene Lescott and Sean Wright Phillips filming a soccer skills app.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say prank show.
In Melbourne, apparently, after a bit of research, he's discovered this app offers professional skills training for $1 a day, which means the app actually costs £30 a month. £30 a month to get some soccer skills training from Jolene Lescott and Sean Wright Phillips. They're just filming like soccer drills outside his office window. So if you've spotted Jolene Lescott and Sean Wright Phillips outside your office window, do let us know.
I, for one, I'm going to say that's too much money. I feel you need to adjust your pricing structure.
Yeah, have you got a bit of the app where you explain to concerned people who have attended the ground why you're not winning, like Jolene Lescott had to that time? I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry about that.
And if the app crashes, a picture of his car just comes up.
Tweeting away with his arse cheek. Mm. as he claimed, of course. We're going to talk about Newcastle United after this.
Hooray!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Newcastle United need a mum.
Lovely eggs.
Have
that mum is Amanda Stabler.
Because daddy's been irresponsible, hasn't he?
Hey, this is happening.
When I see
Peter
the press
Donaldson.
Release,
oh, come on,
when I see the press release, I will be celebrating good times. Come on,
can we clarify what you're scared of? That it will fall through, or that the whole thing's a prank
on me?
Yeah,
just on me. Newcastle United fans, I think, and I speak for myself in that, have been lied to before. So, you know, you got to be careful, haven't you?
What you
don't count
for.
Your lovely young eggs before they hatch.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually quite a good situation for Newcastle fans, because if Ashley doesn't sell before January, then he'll be pressured to buy in the window as Rafa might leave because of, you know, no investment in the team and so on and so forth. If Benitez leaves, the team is less financially viable.
Well, the duel is very much Rafa, and the rest is decidedly championship level. But they've got their head above water at the moment, thanks to Rafa's defensive organisation. But I'm not buying it until it's a club statement. Whether they'll get awarded a period of exclusivity or not, I don't know. But the most enjoyable thing about the whole thing is the fact that Mike Ashley's company is called MASH.
MASH.
Yeah, Mike Ashley.
But
it's also a thing he probably eats a lot of.
Well, absolutely. And he is the sausage, isn't he?
He's very much the sausage in that bangers and mash
situation.
He's
the banger. Yeah. He's all of it. Yeah. So actually, it's one of those things as well. If you love something, don't ask how it's made. Very much the Newcastle situation, isn't it? The sausage analogy. But yeah, I think so. The bid has been $300 million, isn't it?
Which actually
has apparently turned down. But
I mean, it's all kind of like smoke and mirrors, and you don't know how much that is up front and stuff. Yeah. And people are now saying $350 million, but that is literally just Mike Ashley wants $400 million. They're offering $300 million, so the press have went $350 million then.
Yeah,
good.
But apparently he said he wants a complete clean break.
Yeah, he doesn't want to advertise
sports direct branding or anything. That'd be great. It'd be like it never happened.
It'll be one of those street signs though that they pull off the roof, and it just. And it's just left like an indelible mark. Yeah. Because even if you paint over it, there's still a bit of... There's a 3D relief, like a bas relief over the top of it. So, yeah, it's... I do worry that the price tag is all factored in with... it does go down if they're relegated this
season.
That's
right. Stavely wants a relegation clause put in the contract.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine she'd probably prefer a relegation as well with parachute payments and stuff, which would probably be more than 50 million. Yeah. You'd think that if it went down... So it would be a better deal for them, wouldn't it?
Probably. I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit of a funny
reflection.
One.
Yeah.
I reckon she knows more about this than they
do. You reckon?
So yeah, would defer to her.
Of Theresa May, Amanda Staveley knows more than us.
Look, they're both cracking
on. Maybe she can get involved with Brexit.
They're both cracking on with their respective deals. Okay, one perhaps is more likely than the other. But
how terrifying that Newcastle is the more credible one.
Stavely won't walk away with no deal, mate.
No.
She wants that football club. But I reckon there's something here where they sell and then suddenly they realise in the small print that nobody noticed that Ashley actually owns the stadium. And he goes, well, that's fine, you've got the club, but I keep the stadium, so you've got to find another stadium play. I'm staying here. And this is now my house, and now it's a Sports Direct department store.
Fill it with custard, sail around.
There's
big food dinghy.
He'd have to mug them off royally in one more time, surely. You know. Oh, dear. Vomit in every fireplace. Dearie me.
Oh. The Mike Ashley story.
Oh, dearie me. Former Newcastle United player Craig Bellamy. Let's segue right into this one seamlessly.
Yeah, forget Watford.
Yeah, we'll come back to Watford. He's been touted as the next Wales manager by Neil Warnock.
Yeah, but Neil Warnock currently employs him, doesn't he? He's the player development manager at Cardiff. So is Warnock even thinking, I'd need to get rid of Craig? He's too intense. He's scaring all the players. They're not developing. They're hiding under their beds.
He just tore a laser printer in half. For no reason.
He started an argument with thin air again.
Yeah. Or it could be that Craig's just gone, I'd really love a crack at the Wales job. You know, Mark Hughes didn't have much experience when he did it, so it wouldn't be completely mental. And Neil Warnock just is gone rogue and just gone,
I love our Craig. He's great for the Wales. I love our Wales.
Neil, it's so obvious. Embarrassing me, Neil.
I mean, never.
Work, Dad.
Never discount the identity of, like, I mean, to be honest, Bellamy would probably be if you sort of have Bellamy and Giggs together. Giggs probably has more managerial experience, obviously, or certainly in the setup.
Bellamy can manage with a friendly.
Bellamy
would be
would not be a friendly if Craig Bellamy was in the dugout.
Bellamy's man management surely is worth it. Yeah,
but I would say that Craig Bellamy has represented Wales. What do you mean? Ryan Giggs would frequently just not play for Wales.
Yeah, and he's a very unpopular choice, isn't he? Being sort of touted for it for that exact reason.
So I thought, and never discount how incredibly romantic it is to have, you know, somebody, a dribbling Welsh psychopath in the dugout for Wales.
Yeah.
I mean, if you meet a Welsh nationalist, they are very Welsh.
Yeah.
Like, they are well into Wales.
Is this
I know a couple, and they are
Mrs.
very.
Donaldson.
I know
Welsh.
A Only when rugby and football comes around.
They're more into Wales than Scottish nationals would be into Scotland. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe.
I think you've got something there. But the reason why I don't think Bellamy should get the job on the basis that he's represented Wales very well is because that's not really, you know. Yeah. I mean, Big Neville Southall should be in the running then. Yeah. And I know you'd be up for that, Peter.
I think we'd all be up for that.
There won't be much room in the dugout. But you could probably slip a Bellamy in there.
I just love Warnock saying, I love him to get the job because I like to see a lad who cares like that have a go. It's wonderful.
It's strange, isn't it? And as well, I mentioned Mark Hughes earlier, sort of not having much experience when he got the job, and people are sort of pointing to that as reasons why Bellamy would work. But it's like, just because it worked once doesn't mean it will work every time.
It's one size fits all, Jim. That's how it works. That's how it bloody well works. But yes, so I think we'd all get behind Craig Bellamy getting the Wales job. Watford, they look like they've kept their manager.
Yeah, they're coming to town.
From the prying hands of Everton, Marco Silva and, Watford really have rebuffed Everton's advances on him.
Marco Silva's gone from being the least sexy manager when it comes to like the media.
Well, he was unknown
to being the most beloved. Like, they absolutely love that guy.
Yeah.
But they should.
Well, of course, but I mean, he did all he could really with Hull, I would argue, and some people may disagree.
He didn't have long to turn that around.
No, he didn't. And obviously he's gone to Watford and has started very, very well indeed. But also, I think not only is his tactics clearly quite interesting and well thought out, but his temperament as well. Yeah. He just seems like he's the real deal.
He just oozes calm, and you sense the man has a plan for every game. Yeah. It's very, very tactically flexible. Interestingly, they've got the exact same record after 12 games as they did last season, which is 1-5, drawn 3, and lost 4.
That is interesting.
Yeah, but they only won one of their next 10 matches from this point last season, and you would think that Silva would have enough nous to kind of to navigate that and pick up more points. But yeah, it's a real sort of, it's a surprising stat, that, isn't it? You forget how well Watford started last season.
Well, they had Walter Mazzarri in last season, who was a very experienced manager as well. So obviously much more experienced, say, Marco Silva, who doesn't lack experience himself. But it would be surprising if Watford went on a similar run from here on in.
Yes, they look a lot better.
With Mazzarri. But of course, it could happen. And they're away to Newcastle United.
Yeah. Try scoring a goal against that defence.
They will.
They might do that. If you do fancy Newcastle, though, to use the uncertainty around Watford's manager to get them a home win, something they probably need, £10 at 65 with Bet365 will get you £22, including steak. And who doesn't love steak?
No, exactly. Well,
the vegetarians.
Steak and mash.
Oh, lovely old job.
That's what we want.
Count me in.
That is what we want. Everton, they've obviously not got a new manager at the moment, unless Unsworth is given the job, in which case he would become their new manager again,
yes,
if you see what I mean. It's all very strange. Louis van Gaal has told the media that he's not yet been asked.
You got to do everyone?
Yeah, is this his morning press conference to just the world?
Well, check my fax machine.
Yeah. I mean, he's since...
Calls it the LVG sound system.
he's since actually said, hasn't he, that he doesn't want the job, or he's not interested in the job. But I do like the fact that he's thinking, well, I haven't been asked yet. Well, do you want the job? No.
No.
But it'd be nice to be asked, though.
Yeah.
How long have you sat on LVG sound system, Ian Campbell?
Months,
I love it.
And that's a great shame, because we'd love to see Van Gaal back in the league.
No, we wouldn't.
Yes, we would.
Silly.
You take him at Newcastle,
silly man.
Raffle it. Yeah, that's the point, Peter. Right out loud. Aren't you forgetting yourself and the show we do here? That's what we want. That's what we want. But yeah, David Unsworth, though, he's not happy about what happened to Umar Nias, because he's become the first Premier League player to be banned for diving retrospectively.
Right.
Nias is appealing it, and have you seen the quotes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
far away.
Nias says, the contact was on my upper body, and when I heard the contact, I was in the box, so that is it. That is all I have to do. Go on the floor. I think it was because I was running so quick. Yes, yes. I went down because of the contact. I mean, it's not the most convincing rebuttal, is it?
Is he being fed the lines?
It sounds that way.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I went down. I went down. I like how he said, I heard the contact.
I know. You presumably heard a foul on myself.
Your sense of touch should be the one that sends you down. Not all that. Hang on, I heard the clash of boots there. That's me.
My soul was bruised.
I know. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, David Unsworth isn't happy about this and claimed that Nias doesn't tell lies. I mean...
All very playground.
Indeed, indeed. But the Football Association review footage every Monday of incidents resulting in a penalty being awarded or a player being sent off. Didn't realise they were so busy on a Monday. The FA will act if there is a clear and overwhelming evidence to suggest a match official has been deceived by an act of simulation, and as a direct result, the offending player's team has been awarded a penalty or an opposing player has been dismissed. So that's we're in good hands, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about that. And to prove that, the panel of people that judge these decisions, you have one ex-match official, one ex-manager, and one ex-player. And the pool of these people that they can pull from former players include ex-England goalkeeper Rachel Brown, Lee Dixon, Danny Murphy, and Trevor Sinclair. And the former manager's pool consists of Nigel Atkins, Alex McLeish, Chris Powell and Terry Butcher. And I love the fact that Terry Butcher's in there because...
Terry Butcher is a permanent ex-manager. Yeah. Like, he's been an ex-manager more than he's been a manager, I think.
That's true, but I like...
I would imagine everything is a dive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you'd be particularly unlucky. If it was a contentious one and you think, oh, we might get away with this, you hear Butcher's on the panel, that's it.
Is his head bleeding?
Come on.
Not a dive.
Come on, Terry. You could have killed him. Didn't kill him, though, did he?
Yeah, so I think... you'd be unlucky if Butcher was on the panel that day.
I think so. But if you do fancy Southampton to beat Everton away, Southampton need points, obviously, at 5-6. The Southampton win with Bet365. £10 returns you £18.33, including your stake.
Southampton do need the points. Mm. They're away to Manchester City next.
Mm. They're not in the best form, are they? They look a little bit lost.
Yeah, they look a bit uninspiring.
There's no identity, Jim. Yeah. Clubs need identities.
What's Newcastle?
Everton, losers.
What identity?
Newcastle, defensively strong, but they don't have anything up top. Man City, drink them in.
You're right there, mate.
What kind of identity would you like Newcastle?
Jim Campbell, sexy.
Is this your new character?
It's Slogan Donaldson. Slogan's run.
Newcastle United need to go back to sexy football.
They need to go back to sexy football.
Get Hullet back.
Isn't that loud?
Am I right in saying when Newcastle were going on about, oh, we're going to play sexy football, Liverpool turned up and beat them 4-1 with a Michael Owen hat-trick. Was that day?
I can't remember.
In my head, that's what happened.
In your head? I want to go in there.
We'll go. Oh, careful. Right then. What is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, our best bet with Bet365, Sam Westover. Or Westover has got in touch. He's an energy and daylight consultant, Marcus, which is very exciting. After another chaotic Liverpool decision...
Daylight consultant? Yeah.
Is it day? Yes. Can I go home?
Should I have my fog lights on in my car? No, you should be full beam now.
Stop picking on our best better. After another chaotic Liverpool disintegration in the Champions League, my best bet reckons Liverpool will be winning at half-time, but Chelsea will fly back and win the game.
Ooh.
Not a bad little situation there. £50 at 28-1 will net Sam £1,450, including stake. All proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. A tidy sum.
Yeah.
So we hope it all comes in. And let's hope there's some daylight for Chelsea in third come the end of the match.
I don't know. It's a 5:30 kickoff.
Was that slogan again?
Good point. Good point. It is a late match. Remember, you have to be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org for more information on responsible gambling. That URL's getting longer.
It is, yeah.
It used to be something different. The next one will be please.begambleawareplease.com.
But do check it though if you need to.
Yes, begambleaware.org for that.
Marvellous. Right then, Jimmy, let's look ahead to the weekend.
Oh, let's look ahead to the weekend. So I'm just going to dive right in with Chris Williams. The thing he's looking forward to is David Moyes getting the dreaded vote of confidence from the Dildo Brothers after his second game in charge. DG.
They open Premier League proceedings on the Friday night against Leicester.
Yeah, absolutely.
I fancy going to that.
Do you?
No.
Yeah.
Leicester, all right.
Yeah, actually, on that, Ben Gaines says, getting the usual West Ham embarrassment out of the way early so I can concentrate on actually enjoying my weekend.
Oh, lovely.
How it's going to go. Then the Sean McKenna with the dawning realisation for the Sunderland chairman that when your club is on the edge of a cliff, you would be ill-advised to give the manager's job to a lemming. Fair. Regular contributor Michal Maguire. Hello, Michal. As a Celtic fan, I'll be looking forward to hurrying back to Scottish football where we dish out the goals rather than absorb them.
Oh,
that was
blimey.
A hammering.
That was
from PSG.
The best thing was that they went 1-0 up.
Yeah, I know. But
they
just
do that a lot, though, don't they?
Yeah. It just annoyed PSG. And Danny Alves' goal at the end was the pick of the bunch. If you've not seen the highlights, outside of the boot from the edge of the box, just 6-1 up, like the game ticking away, thinking...
Yeah, go on, I'll have a go at this.
I've got it.
Danny Alves is the happiest man in football, isn't he?
Oh, he loves it.
He absolutely loves it. And apparently, you know, big personality in the dressing room, right. and provides the lols and, yeah. and happiness. And, you know, leaving Juventus at the age of, is he 34 now?
Something like that, you maybe
know,
older.
Yeah, you could argue he's in the twilight of his career, although I suppose with that engine, he could go on till about 44, for crying out loud. And he's thinking, do I go for Man City? Oh, PSG come along. Oh, I'll have a little stint in Paris. Yeah. And, wow. and he's playing for a side who are playing outrageous football. Absolutely. In the Champions League. Although I did quite like fair play to Brendan Rodgers after the game. I mean, he was smiling in the post-match interview.
Yeah.
But I think once you realise, the game's gone yeah. after, what was it, 20 minutes or something like that, you just sort of sit back and enjoy the show. Yeah. And he was almost like, do you know what? They are bloody good.
I'm on a bloody good show today.
I'll tell you what, that was entertaining.
Glad I got my season ticket. You get a free one, Brendan. You're in the dugout, mate.
But he did say there were more positives in that one than the 7-0 loss against Barcelona, I think, last time
I
around.
Can think of one.
Yeah, there's an obvious one, isn't there? But apart from that, yeah.
Mm. So bringing us back down to earth, or me in particular, is Alec Johnson saying Burnley beating Arsenal 1-0 to make last week's win over Spurs worthless.
That's blatantly going to happen.
Absolutely see that. I think we could all see that happening.
That's all done.
Daniel Jamie Mills saying, I'm getting married this weekend. Congratulations, Daniel. In sunny North Devon. Off to Iceland on Tuesday for honeymoon, so I'll make sure the latest ramble is downloaded for the plane. Hashtag priorities. There you go, mate. Absolutely.
Isn't there a volcano about to erupt in Iceland?
I think that's in Burnley.
Might want to take the ferry, mate. I want to take the ferry, mate. Mm.
Finally, Ari O'Rosh. What a name.
Ari O'Rosh,
I'm
beautiful.
Still disappointed that I've not heard anyone refer to David Unsworth as the special and I think we should all take responsibility for that.
Microsoft Outlook, come on.
I'm so glad he picked up the slack.
Yeah. Couldn't even look forward to anything at the weekend. Too angry.
My goodness, there we are. Chaps, anything you're looking forward to? Jim, Arsenal maybe nicking a point at Burnley?
Yeah, maybe. Another late handy goal.
I think Newcastle might do all right in this match.
Really?
At home. It's at home.
It's at home.
Come on.
The bid
at home.
The bid has been made. Maybe the players will be buoyed by that. I don't know.
Well, it'll certainly be a lovely night out in Newcastle, won't it?
If they sell. Let's just say, right.
Imagine if they ratified it like at 2 p.m. On Saturday.
My God.
No, It's gone.
I reckon if it was late afternoon on Friday, right on the edge of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, everyone would be getting hammered in Newcastle Town Centre at the weekend. God, it'd be like scenes no one's ever witnessed before.
The last days of Rome. On the big market.
The first days of Newcastle. The new Newcastle. Would you go up there Saturday night on the piss? You would, wouldn't you?
I do.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I frequently do.
Well, let's hope that happens.
Aye.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Bye.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.